then we will then we'll sing. Will, if you would, brother, would you pray for us?
Yes, Father, thank you for your significance, credit, your passionate. You want to know, Lord. We see a blessing, and Lord, and may we also remember that our brother that couldn't come tonight, Lord, may go into the hearts, Lord, and bring the dog closer up the help those who are sick, Lord. Those who have to be lost, Lord, remember Steve, Lord, help him in the path in his diocese. He went into trouble and, you know, or suffering as well, Lord. Also, Pat, heal her, give her strength, Lord, bring her back to church as well, Lord. Also, remember Colin, lift him out of trouble, Lord, and draw thy on to him, keep him safe and well, Lord, as well, Lord. Also, Frank, Lord, hopefully he's put him to the Lord, keep him safe and well, drop him walk the and bring him back to church as well, Lord, and let him depart. Also, Carl and Stephen, Lord, bring him to church, Lord. Also, your John Bradfield, as he goes to the doctor's appointment, heal him, let him depart, and may have a full bill of health, Lord, and draw him walk the as well, Lord. Also, we pray for Ed Bissell, Lord, my heal him, let him depart, Lord, and Mrs. Dearington as well, Lord. Mind them working their body, Lord, coming in infection and disease from spreading, Lord. Heal her mind and powerfully, and may see a miracle, Lord, and help and help her and meet her every need, Lord, as well, Lord. Pray for the service of men, Lord, we want her number, Lord. May you expound your word to us, Lord, and may we learn new things, Lord, and make our heart grow merry with thy love, Lord, and thy grace as well, Lord. Give us grace, Lord, and your mouth with gifts, Lord, we receive among us, Lord, and Lord, cease those mighty and powerfully in Abigail, church members, and throughout there, Lord, cease those mighty and powerfully, and there is a standard as well, Lord. Lord, I want to pray about these Christ, amen.
Amen. Thank you. Well, why don't we just we'll rip the band-aid off and we'll start with number 16. Majestic sweetness sits enthroned. Try saying that three times quick. Well, there's four verses, I'm going to put five into the machine. And we will listen to the first verse and the intro before we start that. Guide me, O thou great Jehovah. Guide me, O thou great Jehovah. Let's stand as we sing. And
Turn to light, the book of the Lord, to Isaiah chapter 19. Isaiah chapter 19. The burden of Egypt, behold, the Lord rideth upon a swift cloud and shall come unto Egypt, and the idols of Egypt shall be moved at his presence, and the heart of Egypt shall melt in the midst of it. And I will set the Egyptians against the Egyptians, and they shall fight every one against his brother, and every one against his neighbour, city against city, and kingdom against kingdom. And the spirit of Egypt shall fail in the midst thereof, and I will destroy the council thereof, and they shall seek to the idols, and to the charmers, and to them that have familiar spirits, and to the wizards. And the Egyptians will I give over into the hand of a cruel lord, and a fierce king shall rule over them, saith the Lord of hosts. And the water shall fail from the sea, and the rivers shall be wasted and dried up, and they shall turn the rivers far away, and the brooks of the defence shall be emptied and dried up, and reeds and flags shall wither, the paper reeds by the brooks, by the mouth of the brooks, and everything sown by the brooks shall wither, be driven away and be no more. The fishers also shall mourn, and all they that cast angle into the brooks shall lament, and they that spread nets upon the water shall languish. Moreover, they that work in fine flax, and they that weave networks, shall be confounded, and they shall be broken in the purposes thereof. All that makes sluices and ponds are fish. Surely the princes of Zoan are fools. The counsel of the wise counsellors of Pharaoh is become British. How say ye unto Pharaoh, I am the son of the wise, the son of ancient kings? Where are they? Where are thy wise men? And let them tell thee now, and let them know what the Lord of hosts hath purposed upon Egypt. The princes of Zoan are become fools. The princes of Noph are deceived. They have also seduced Egypt, even they that are the stay of the tribes thereof. Lord, have mingled a perverse spirit in the midst thereof, and they have caused Egypt to err in every work thereof, as a drunken man stagger from his vomit. Neither shall there be any work for Egypt, which the head or tail, branch or rush may do. In that day shall Egypt be like unto woman, and shall be afraid and feared because of the shaking of the hand of the Lord of hosts, which he shaketh over it. And the land of Judah shall be a terror unto Egypt. Everyone that maketh mention thereof shall be afraid of himself, because of the counsel of the Lord of hosts, which he hath determined against it. In that day shall 5 cities in the land of Egypt seek the language of Canaan, and swear to the Lord of hosts. One shall be called the city of destruction. In that day shall there be an altar to the Lord in the midst of the land of Egypt, and a pillar at the border thereof to the Lord, and shall be for a sign and for a witness unto the Lord of hosts in the land of Egypt, for they shall cry unto the Lord because of their pressures. He shall send them a saviour, and a great one that he shall deliver them. The Lord shall be known to Egypt, and the Egyptians shall know the Lord in that day, and shall do sacrifice and oblation. Yea, they shall vow a vow unto the Lord and perform it. And the Lord shall smite Egypt, he shall smite and heal it, and they shall return even to the Lord, and he shall be entreated of them, and shall heal them. In that day shall there be a highway out of Egypt to Assyria, and the Assyrians shall come unto Egypt, and the Egyptian unto Assyria, and the Egyptians shall serve before the Assyrians. In that day shall Israel be the third of Egypt and of Assyria, even a blessing in the midst of the land. For the Lord of hosts shall bless, saying, blessed be Egypt my people, and Assyria the work of my hands, and Israel my inheritance. Amen. Yeah.
Too much. Well. I know many times as we read the Bible, I don't know about you, we spoke about it a little while ago, the loving kindness. It's good to hear about the loving kindness of God, especially when you're at a low ebb or you're getting a difficult time. But if you want to see the Lord in action and making promises, or as they say, cracking skulls and taking names, you need to have a read at Isaiah and Jeremiah. Thank you for that, Bob. Amen. Does anybody have anything that they would like to add to our prayer lists? Yes, Mrs. Bradford. Yep, pray for Monica and myself. We'll be travelling up to see my dad. We'll be there until Wednesday. He has a further appointment with the dermatologist. The last time he went up for a consultation, and they actually removed a bit of cancer from his skin and gave him the nitrogen treatment on something else. So we would appreciate your prayers for that. Anything else? Please do pray for John and Catherine. I must actually get their surnames as well. John was out again this morning. Please do pray for him. He is thinking about, or actually being convicted about being saved. So please do pray about that, and please, whatever it is that you can do to point folks to the foot of the cross, you just do. Nothing else then, is there? Okay.
Just Ed has another treatment tomorrow.
We mentioned that this morning. All right. I think that's about that. Well, have a wee word of prayer and then we'll continue. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Dear loving Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to gather together in your house. We've got a fellowship, Lord, lifting up of your praises. And Father, coming before you with the things that bother us deep in our hearts, Lord. I pray you, Father, for, well, for John and Catherine, Lord, that you would convict them of sin and judgment to come. Give them pause for thought about trusting you as Savior. Pray, Lord, for Pat and Steve, that you would work in their hearts and minds as well, for Stephen and Carol, that you would be with them. We do, of course, Miss Ling and Dr. Shang and Frank, and pray that you would continue to work in their lives. And it was good to see Mary Ann out this morning, Lord. I pray that you would just watch over and keep her, and help our Lord with her grief. I know there's a lot going on in the world, Lord, and we do indeed pray for Israel, that you would preserve them and keep them, that you would provision them and give them portions of wisdom, and Lord, give them the victory on every hand against every comer. And I include my own country in this, Lord, because we are in bad shape. Please work in the hearts and minds of those that run our countries, Lord, from the UK and Ireland and America and Europe. I think also on Australia, America, North and Canada, and South America as well. And the Middle East, Lord, and the Far East. I pray you, Lord, please, for all of those, Father, that are set about mischief, that you would oppose them, that you would let them, Lord, hold them back and oppose them in work, oppose them in their private lives, Lord, and oppose them in their sin. Convict them greatly of sin and judgment. I know, Lord, I'm sure each one of us, those that don't yet know you as Savior, and I pray you, please, that you would speak to them of sin and judgment to come, and an eternity in hell or heaven. Please, Lord, I pray you to work in our lives as regards our health, and decisions and battles that we have, and I pray you, Father, please, that you would provide many answers. Just thank you for loving us and watching over us. And we leave these things to your feet, Lord, along with our private prayer request. Pray that you would forgive us, and cleanse us and refresh us, and prepare us to meet the week. And we ask this all in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, Lord. Amen. 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 All right. Let's take our three books again. We are going all the way to hymn number 20, Mrs. Bradfield Bureau. Hymn number 20 in the wee black books, She Only Touched the Hem of His Garment. This was one of Sandra's favorites, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Joyful noise, man.
She only touched the hem of his garment as to his side. Saving power.
This time, if you want to take and turn off towards the back, hymn number 381. Hymn number 381 is Fight the Good Fight. If you're fit, we'll stand. It's easier to get a good swing and a kick whenever you're standing. 381, Fight the Good Fight. Let's stand as we sing. I wouldn't even have remembered the reference that we were reading from this morning. I hope that's not you. But we're in Luke chapter 10. We're going previous to what we read this morning. We're in Luke chapter 10, verse 17. We have 8 verses to read. Luke chapter 10, verse 17 through to 24. Amen. Luke chapter 10, verse 17 through 24. As you turn there, I just let you know what was happening up in the Crescent Link. No bothers and no opposition. I got a few sideways glances from ones in cars as we were preaching the gospel and reading out the Ten Commandments to everybody and reminding everybody that we're all sinners and we all need to get saved. One or two positive beeps, half an hour of preaching, and back home again. And here we are again this evening. Luke chapter 10, verse number 17, the word of God says, "And the 70 returned again with joy." Those are the disciples that the Lord sent out and gave them power to cast out devils and this, that, and the other. "And they saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven." And that is our text this evening. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding, in this rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Amen. And that same hour, Jesus rejoiced in spirit and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered to me of my Father, and no man knoweth who the Son is but the Father, and who the Father is but the Son, and he to whom the Son will reveal him. And he turned again unto his disciples and said privately, Blessed are the eyes which see the things that ye see. For I tell you that many prophets and kings have desired to see those things which ye see, and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear, and have not heard. The title for the message this evening is What to Do When the Devil Comes a Knocking. What to Do When the Devil Comes a Knocking. Well, would you say a wee word of prayer for us again, and then we'll continue.
Father, thank you for your love and for your son's sacrifice to cross for our sins, Lord. We love it more and more, and the days approaches to the end of the world, Lord. May it draw us close to thee and make us more intuitively, Lord. And may we tell people of our son's sacrifice to cross, Lord, for them, and fully accept this offer, Lord, that we may be saved by the offering and thy good name praised in the earth, Lord. Lord, good for the advisors, missionaries, teachers, and all saints in the pulpit tonight, Lord, today, but in the east or west, Lord, south or north, Lord, saints in the mighty and powerful, Lord, the virtues of the mighty and powerful of judgment to come, Lord, and by the good and great grace, Lord. Also, with this organization we support, Lord, and the mysteries, Lord, heal the mighty, we are from the Francis College, we are keeping safe from our Lord. We remember Mason and Mass, open doors. Christian Institute and Kids for School, Lord. We have the kids that we support, Lord. Remember George, Isaiah, Matthias, and Easter, Lord. Keep them safe, Lord. Also, the other children as well, Lord. And the children have yet to come throughout school, Lord. May they come exposed to the story of the cross, Lord. And save the mighty and powerful, Lord. And give them a life to do as well, Lord. And we're Marcus comes to double the gospel, Lord. Touch his heart, and also my heart, and everybody's heart, and in the service of those that are hearing on the internet as well, Lord. Lord, my good name be praised, Lord, and give us a revelation through thy book, Lord, and give us a blessing, my holy honor, and for thy glory, we trust in thee.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Amen. What to do when the devil comes a knocking. This portion of scripture that we have just read sandwiched that little portion of our text this evening in between a lot of good times. Because the Lord has sent 70 disciples out two by two and given them power to drink poison and to heal the sick and even raise the dead and cast out devils. And they've obviously been out doing it, and they come back and are all excited about the things that they've been able to do, which they couldn't do before, but it was done through Jesus' name. And the Lord said to them, Yep, it's good that you can do that, but the real thing to rejoice over is the fact that you're seated, that your names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, because even as we read through the New Testament, we see in the Gospels and we see in the Book of Acts, we see the gifts that the Lord used to confirm the preachers of his word, they started to disappear. Whenever the gospel was passed on from the Lord to the apostles and then onto any that would be a disciple, the miracles that they used to do, the speaking in tongues that they used to do, the raising of the dead that was done, that all stopped. And it became, as again we mentioned this morning, as what Peter said, well, Lord, it's not the feeding of the 5,000, it's not the miracles that's important. It's your word, and where else are we going to go? Thou hast the words of everlasting life. And then after our comment by the Lord about Satan. We have the Lord saying to the disciples, you really don't know. He rejoices and he says to our Father in heaven, thank you, Lord, for doing all this through them, for giving them a wee taste, giving them an understanding of just exactly the way the world is made. And the little thing that he says at the very end, something that we are not actually very aware of in this day and age. The Lord said, you are blessed. You don't know how many important men and how many prophets that spoke about these things would have loved to have seen these things come to pass. And here are we sitting 2,000 years after this, and we're reading accounts of all of these things happening, but more than that, we have actually seen biblical prophecy literally in our lifetimes. Sometimes it doesn't seem like so much fun seeing them happen, especially whenever you're living through them and you're feeling the effects of them in your life, but we're getting to see these. Now, the thing that really got my attention is just that one sentence, that one statement by the Lord. Whenever the men were coming back rejoicing, the Lord said, and I think he gave it as a reminder, a firm reminder, that their adversary, the devil, still walketh about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And not to get carried away, enjoying the exercising of this authority that the Lord had given them over all manner of infirmities, whether they be spiritual or physical. But remember that Satan is the god of this world. Don't forget that we are in a conflict, a contest, a battle of wills and a battle of for the souls and the minds of people. Because even as we think, not us I'm sure, but even as many of people in this world think that we're constantly moving towards a utopia, a wonderful, the pinnacle of human development and construction, the Lord was saying, there is a god of this world and his name is Satan. And I want to tell you that he absolutely hates you and me. And he hates the word of God. And he hates everything to do with God. And he will do whatever he can do to stop it. He has been given authority over many kingdoms in this world. You remember whenever he tempted the Lord, he said, all the glory and the power and these kingdoms I'll give them to you if you fall down and worship me, for these things are given unto my power. That's worth remembering. But the thing that I need for you to see today is the words that the Lord said. The Lord recalled to mind, he saw Satan as lightning fall from heaven. An odd statement to make. But you need to know that that statement says quite a lot. First of all, it shows that God is the boss. And Satan is not allowed to do anything unless God allows him. That's basically it. This was in the past. Satan fell a long time ago. And Jesus saw it. He fell. In other words, it was involuntary. If you were to hunker down on your hands and knees to tie your shoelaces, you don't say you fell down. You sit down, you kneel down. It is your decision and it was under your power. As far as Satan goes, he fell. He was kicked, he was thrown, he was cast. His home was no more in heaven, because heaven is ruled by God. And Satan, he wanted to be God. In fact, there are some descriptions of God in the Bible, but I want to read a couple of portions of God's word just to give you an idea of what Satan looks like and what he thinks like. The first one, what he looks like, is in Ezekiel 28. And this is what the word of the Lord said, Ezekiel 28:11. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, this is God talking to Ezekiel, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus, and say unto him, Thus saith the Lord God, Thou sealest up the sum full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. He's talking about the devil. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering. I'm going to get some of these wrong, but there was the sardius, the topaz, the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, and the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, and the carbuncle, and gold. And the workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou wast created. The devil is not the opposite to God. He is completely subservient to God. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth. In other words, he would stand over the throne of God and have the glory of God shine off of all of these precious stones. And you know what the glory of God, just a little bit of it shining off of Moses' face, that put the fear of God into a lot of people. He said, Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created until iniquity was found in thee. By the multitude of thy merchandise they have filled the midst of thee with violence, and thou hast sinned. Therefore I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God, and I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty, and thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground, I will lay thee before kings, that they may behold thee. That speaks of a creature that is beautiful to look at, and beautiful to listen to. A creature so persuasive that he fooled a full one-third of the angels of God into following him. If you read in the book of Revelation, it talks about the dragon taking in a third of the stars of God with his tail. That's what this is talking about. But no matter how good he sounds and how good he looks, no matter the, in quotes, the value that he has and the position that he had, he was still kicked out of heaven by God. He stood behind the throne of God, possibly above God, reflecting his glory. A panoramic view of God's kingdom, and it was gone like that. And that is why, as we look in Isaiah 14, at the five idols of the devil, this is what's going through his head. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground which didst weaken the nation? For thou hast said in thine heart, this is after him being chucked out, I will ascend into heaven. In other words, I'll get back to where I came from. And that glory of God, that'll be my glory. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I'll be the greatest of the angels. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. So he wants. He wants to be God. Yet I shall be brought down to hell to the sides of the pit. It's all very well having a good plan. It's all very well sounding good and looking good. But if you don't have the oomph behind you to carry it out, you might as well forget it. And friends, though the devil is a powerful being, he's not God. You need to remember that. God had other plans, and he ejected from heaven. I don't know, was there ever a film or a book called The Man Who Would Be King? That was the devil. He was ejected from heaven. Now the Lord said that he fell like lightning. In other words, the devil might have been hemming and hawing a bit, and he might have been taking a second or two to decide what it was he was going to do. But if you Google the speed of lightning, I looked at it and it said something like 200,000 miles per hour. That it, the speed at which it goes could get you to the moon in, I think it's 15 minutes. It's that fast. When judgment falls, friend, whether it is one of the archangels or whether it is the worst of sinners, judgment always seems to fall very, very quickly and very, very surely. And it means that you are separated from heaven and the God of it. Definitely a step down to what the devil was used to. I'm sure that the devil was not entirely happy about that all. And he has been determined ever since to make sure that you and I, and even the rest of God's creation, pays for that indignity, for him being shown up for what he was. And he has the power to make anything look good. Anything. What's what they used to say is the power to sell coal to Newcastle or snow to the Eskimos. I'm going to give you an example. For those that follow the Lord and love the Lord, and one of the simplest examples and one of the greatest blessings is for a Christian couple to have children. For any decent, level-headed couple to have children. And what goes through their heads? Lots of excitement. Lots of preparation. Maybe a bit of painting and redecorating and rejigging of homes to make sure there's a room for the baby and the boxes of nappies and baby grows and baby food and wee spoons and bottles and formula, all that stuff. And if anything was to happen to that child, it'd be devastating. Marriages have broken up over lost children. And yet, in that very same vein, those that are given over to the devil, that have listened to the devil, will literally line up to murder their children in the womb and think they're doing a great thing. In fact, there are so many people that listen to the devil, as we mentioned before, at the time when Roe v. Wade was overturned and the abortion control was left to a state level instead of a government level, a federal level. There were actual churches mourning the fact that it was going to be harder to kill the unborn child. Those are people that listen to the devil. The devil is that good. As a fellow says, I wish he was working for God and made heaven sound as good as he makes hell sound. If you think, we'll take another example about drink. A great verse that I learned before I was even saved. Proverbs 20:1. Wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. And if you were to look at the facts, drinking will dehydrate you. Because your liver needs all the liquids to burn off the alcohol. Your kidneys, trying to purify your blood from the alcohol, doing exactly the same. It'll hurt them as well. It literally eats the stomach lining. It destroys your brain cells. And it eats away at your throat as you swallow the alcohol. Alcohol is quite literally a poison. And yet the devil has convinced millions of people, and especially in Ireland, in Northern Ireland, that drinking is a great social activity. I am sure there is a substantial part of the population of this town is here because of drinking. And include many Christians in that. It's okay to drink. It's not okay to drink. I'm sure that the Bible says, that we have already mentioned, about drinking. But the Bible also talks about immorality. And the devil has made immorality seem grand. He has made it seem, at the risk of being a bit on the coarse side, 45 years ago, whenever I was in the Portadown College, there was a wee girl there that had a reputation. A reputation that she would quite literally lie down for anybody that looked at her. And nobody would touch her. And they called her the town bike. Nobody would touch her. She was like a leper. But now, it seemed as normal and desirable to go out for a night and to get full of drink and to spend the night with a stranger. Look what the Bible said. And we girls are not having to be forced out. They're queuing up to go out. Bible says in Leviticus, the books of the law, do not prostitute thy daughter to cause her to be a whore, lest the land fall to whoredom and the land become full of wickedness. Was there ever a verse of scripture from nearly 4,000 years ago that so accurately described the young people in the world today? In fact, I think it says in Proverbs about a strange woman being like a deep ditch and a strange man the same. The devil is so persuasive that we girls don't even, they're not even smart enough to be whores, because at least whores get paid. They give their virtue away many times over just to be able to have a laugh about it and don't realize the deep emotional and spiritual harm they're doing to themselves. The devil is good. The devil is crazy good. Anyone old enough to remember Starsky and Hutch?
Just a
bear. Remember the and Huggy Bear? What did you say?
Just a
bear. I think it came out in the '70s. Would you been in a nappy then? Maybe not. No, you wouldn't. Remember Starsky and Hutch and Huggy Bear? Do you remember the streetwalkers that used to walk around in the wee cut-off tops and the high heels and the leggings? And they were the whores, the prostitutes. I'm going to tell you something. The devil is so good that he has Christian moms and daughters running around looking exactly like a 1970s streetwalker. He is that good. Drugs the same. The devil is really, really good. And the devil can make it sound like it's your idea, and he can make it feel like it's a good idea for all of those things. There was an article that I read in the news about 15 years ago. It was about Nicole Kidman. I think she had just split up with Tom Cruise, I think, at the time. And there was a picture of her. And it showed a picture of her with a wee bit of hip. And her knicker elastic was showing on her hip. And the skirt was down, right low in the hip. And somebody said, well, it looks like someone thinks that Victorian prostitute is the latest fashion. But the devil has persuaded we girls to go out without even the skirts on anymore. They're just wearing their tights or leggings. The devil is formidable. He is intelligent, he is merciless, and he hates the whole of God's creation. You and me, because we're made in God's image, and the ones I think he hates the most are the ones that are stupid enough to fall for his stories. And he abuses them the most. No love about him, there's no care for his followers and those that think he's wonderful. He'll do anything and everything to make sure that souls end up in hell in the lake of fire. Remember what the Lord said to the scribes and the Pharisees? He said, you're of your father the devil. He was a liar and a murderer from the beginning. He will spin you a yarn to kill you. And if he can't do that, if he can't make sure that you end up in hell in the lake of fire, he will do his utmost to steal your testimony, to steal your time and your money and your vitality and destroy your mind through the multitude of things that he fires your way so that you never amount to anything for God in this world. He is implacable. And he knows also that his time is short. And that is why I believe that things are getting crazy, crazy quick. And I want to say to you, it's not all bad news, by the way. If you're on your own out in the world and you're lost, then it is bad news. because you need to get saved and make God your father so that he looks after you. But otherwise than that, you're on your own. For all the wickedness and devilment that the devil has at his fingertips, and all that he has cultivated in this world, you have a promise from the God that cannot lie, from the Word that will never change, because we need it with every generation. This is what John said. John wrote for you and I. He said, "Little children, ye are of God, and ye have overcome them, the world, the flesh, and the devil, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." Greater is he that is in you, in other words, what you have from God through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit is greater than anything the world, the flesh, and the devil can throw at. You need to remember that. And it doesn't matter what schemes and plans the old devil has for you, and he has for you. The God that made him is much greater than him. And in Romans 8 and verse 31, it says, "If God be for you, who can be against you?" You need to remember that. Because I know there's a lot of times the devil doesn't sit in his corner and wait for the bell to ring and bump his gloves together and come out. He doesn't play it that way. Whenever you think the bell has been rung and you go to sit down and you turn your back on him, he's going to come at you. And whenever you're sitting down, you think you're getting the way they'll let the guys wash their mouths out with water, He's going to hand you a bottle of vinegar. And it'll sting like blue blazes. And it'll put a bad taste in your mouth. And it'll dehydrate. He's going to do that. He's a dirty, rotten, lying, cheating, scummy devil. That's quite literally what he is. And you remember, friends, that when the world does seem to be coming down round your ears, remember the words that the Lord has for you. The Lord said, "When you hear what I say, and when you do what I say, you will be like the man that builds his house upon the rock." He didn't say, "If the storms come," he said, "When the storms come, when the floods come, your house will stand. Your life will be worth something." Don't be like those Egypts that never listen to God and just go about their business anywhere and everywhere, because when the floods come and when the storms come, their lives will be completely washed away. And that, those verses have become a little bit more personal to me since I spent my time in hospital at the risk of laboring that experience. Because when I was sitting in hospital and a mad fever, and the temperature wouldn't come down, and the blood pressure wouldn't come down, they were afraid I was going to drop dead. I wasn't worried about computers, or video games, or magazines, or work, or I can't even think of all the other things that people would normally worry about. Working on the church, the 2 weeks of work that we had in the church, I wasn't worrying about that either. I was only worrying. I was glad that I was saved and that I was resting in the palm of my Savior and that he would never let me go. That is the only thing that counts. That's what Jesus said. But when these things come, Isaiah 59 and verse 19 is a wee promise for everybody. And it says about the Christian, "So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west, and his glory from the rising of the sun in the east. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord that indwells every one of his children shall lift up a standard against you." You are not on your own. When the devil comes and knocks, you have what you know of the Scriptures, you have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, you have the angels that are sent to you by your Father in heaven, and you have your big brother with whom you are a joint heir, interceding for you on your behalf. You have all the wonderful, eloquently delivered sermons that I and anybody else has delivered to you for the Holy Spirit to pull bits out for you and say, that's for you right here and now. The Spirit of the Lord will raise up a standard against him for you. And that standard is his salvation, which is free and forever and sure to whosoever will repent. And it comprises his word, which is like nuclear power banks for the Christian. The very power of God to save you not just forever, but for right here and now. I don't mean to make much of the devil, but he is not a pushover, not for you and I, not as mortal creatures. But for God, through God Almighty, through the blood of his Son Jesus Christ and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit and all the promises that are available to Christians, you and I can prevail. You and I will prevail if we keep our eyes on it. Sometimes whenever you're in the middle of things, all the wonderful eloquent sermons about the other things that's in the Bible, the judges, the kings, the stupid things they did, the great things they did, that just goes away. The only thing that is important is that you win the battle. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Keep those verses of scriptures in your heart and mind. Tell your brethren. Have friends and family praying for you, interceding on your behalf, even praying with you. Anything and everything that you need, God will provide. That is his promise. That is in his word. And if it's in there, God can't say no. When the devil comes knocking, you run to the Lord. Amen. Thank you for your good time and attention. I appreciate it this evening. God bless you. We have one hymn, I think, to sing. And it's in the wee black book. Number 19, did somebody pick this evening? Was it number 19? God be with you till we meet again. Was that you, John? I'm not sure.
I think he chose it.
I was going to say we'll blame you, but we won't. We'll give you a Let's stand as we sing number 19. A good one to finish with. God be with you till we meet again. Let's make a joyful night.
God be with you till we meet again.
Please help us realize, Lord, even a fraction of what you have done for us. Please don't be done with us. Please keep working on our hearts and our minds. And Lord, I pray that we have never let you down. We love you and praise you. We ask all this, Father. And, of course, for private prayer requests and petitions. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, and according to your will. Amen. Amen. Ma'am and Bailey, we're dismissed. God bless you. Keep hands and fellowship for a little bit.